Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. I want to get right to it today. I want to get right into our passage, from Romans this morning. So just a bit of what happens, as Walt mentioned, it starts with the word because. Because if you confess that with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What we have here in this passage, beginning with that, beginning before that because, but especially beginning at that because, is what is perhaps the clearest, most understandable, and easiest way to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I have long contended, and hopefully you've heard me say this before, that it is quite imperative that all Christians are able to concisely define what the gospel is. And if you want an easy way to do that directly from Scripture, this is it. Very easy, very clear. In this passage by Paul, in this letter to Christians in the city of Rome, there's a lot going on. We see a lot taking place, a lot happening. There is especially confession that Jesus is Lord. There is the gospel. Again, that confession is the gospel. We see law, exodus, belief, and we see salvation, all in this short passage from Romans chapter 10. Paul writes, right here in this passage, he writes that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Well, amen. Amen. It really is as simple as that. It really is as simple as that. Yet the gospel is still so profoundly deep that we could never fully plunge the depths of it. Though a good place to start, we start our thinking process with the simple fact, the simple statement, Jesus is Lord. That he came to rescue sinners through his life, death, resurrection, and ascension. Now, we could spend the entirety of our lives delving into the depths of what all of that means, you know, line by line, letter by letter, word by word, and many people do. You know, they're called professors and theologians. But the simple reality is that the gospel of Jesus Christ absolutely changes people. The gospel of Jesus Christ heals. The gospel of Jesus Christ reconciles. The gospel of Jesus Christ provides exactly what we need, even when we don't recognize exactly what it is that we need. Now, the larger context of this passage, all of Romans 10, and in reality, all of Romans chapters 9 through 11, gives us great insight into a lot of stuff, but especially what I want to point out this morning, which I began to attempt with the kids today, was giving us insight into Moses and the Exodus. Moses led the people of Israel in the Exodus out of slavery, out of bondage, out of 400 years of captivity in Egypt. Moses led the people from this absolutely brutal regime, this brutal captivity of Pharaoh, and led them out of that through the Red Sea, and then he delivered to the people the law of God, the commandments, while they were on this, you know, wilderness journey. We know Moses. We know Moses was a great prophet. He was a father for the Israelite people. He was a great leader. Moses was even a Christ figure in Scripture. He's a Christ figure for us, prefiguring the coming Savior of the world. Moses followed God's call. He followed God's call onto his life. The same, and really, we could say that Moses heard the gospel 1,000 years before Jesus walked on the earth, because he was transformed. He listened to what God had to say. He was transformed. To be able to lead, to be able to speak, and to be able to go. Now, the people didn't always like it. In fact, they grumbled and complained a lot, didn't they? But they still followed Moses. And that's important to realize, it's important to know. They may not have liked it, but they still followed Moses. Though, it's also important to know that Moses himself, he didn't save anybody. Moses didn't save anybody. Moses led the people. Moses, in fact, was an imperfect human. Moses is the one who was actually not allowed to enter into the promised land of God because of his disobedience to God. Moses helped the people. Moses led the people, but Moses did not save the people. God did the saving. The Lord did the saving work. Friends, this world, as we know, is full of sin. The world is lost and broken. The world is full of things that are tragic and should never happen. The world needs to be made right. The world needs to be reconciled to God and to the rest of the world. And thanks be to God, we have that reconciliation. Jesus Christ, through the incarnation of God, Jesus, God, coming into the world to set the world right and to put the world back into right relationship with God. And the Exodus story is eclipsed by the greater Exodus. The Exodus that Jesus leads all of us into is an Exodus of pure salvation. An Exodus out of the captivity of our own minds, out of the captivity of our sins, out of the captivity of the fear of death and destruction and chaos and things that have been done to us. Jesus leads us in Exodus out of those things. You know, again, today's World Mission Sunday. So we ponder what a simple gospel confession, Exodus, and salvation have to do with mission. I will go as far to say even that missions is an exodus for all Christians. Out of the captivity of unbelief, out of the captivity of our own selves, our own selfishness, the gospel accomplishes this. We don't do this on our own. There's not one of us who can do this on our own, but the gospel accomplishes this. The gospel then draws participation in mission from us, from our hearts. All of this in fulfillment of every Christian to confess Jesus is Lord, to have mercy and compassion, to know that the law is good because it reveals our sin, and truly believe that our salvation was purchased only with the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross once and for all. And so, friends, Paul makes this amazingly simple yet profound statement of the gospel that elicits the responses of what? Of confession and of belief, all within us. And thus, then, the movement of taking this gospel out into the rest of the world. Mission. Again, Paul says, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and is so justified. And one confesses with the mouth and is so saved. Confession, belief, gospel, salvation. This great statement constitutes, again, the most basic Christian confession of truth, the truth that is the word by which we are all saved and we are all justified. This belief and this confession is the result of the work of the Holy Spirit, which brings faith, brings repentance, brings confession. It's the same Spirit, friends. There's not a different one. It's the same Spirit which Jesus promised to the disciples in the upper room. by breathing upon them that great breath of life. The same Spirit that brought Thomas to the proclamation to say, "My Lord and my God," when he recognized Jesus. The disciples received the Holy Spirit that night. And the Spirit then would dwell with power upon many on the day of Pentecost just a few weeks later. The gift then that we have of confessing Jesus as Lord is a gift, number one. It is a gift from the Spirit. We are only able to make that proclamation that Jesus is Lord if we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within us. And then by that same Spirit, we are able to take that salvific word out into the rest of the world so that others can come to know the same amazing triumph. Paul continues his message to the Romans with the encouragement to take the word to others. He says, "For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on the one in whom they have not received? And how are they to believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent?" This encouragement came to Christians, by the way, in the city of Rome, who had been in hiding, who were scared, just like the disciples in the upper room that night were afraid. These Christians in the city of Rome, they were frightened. They were scared for their own lives. They were already being sought out as radicals who were a threat to the empire simply because of their belief, their faith in Jesus. And surely they must be stopped, this little movement of whatever it is. It's got to go away. Paul, in fact, had already been arrested, shackled, shipwrecked, falsely accused, stoned, beaten, ignored, abandoned, laughed at. He kept going. None of those things stopped him. Every one of those things should have stopped him. He kept going. He never considered himself a victim. Rather, he was always convicted to make the gospel known. What a great joy that is. The gospel isn't something that I keep to myself. Jesus is Lord is not something only for me. Think about that. Think about the time that you first knew in your heart that Jesus is Lord. What an amazing feeling that was. Think about how others can have that same feeling that you had. One of the things that I hear a lot is that our country needs to get back to being a Christian nation. Have you heard that? Have you said that? How do you think that happens? For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on one whom they have not received? And how are they to believe in one whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? Paul was living into this new exodus. The new exodus. And he's telling us to live into the same new exodus as well. One that is led by Jesus. One that includes Jew and Gentile alike. An exodus led by the Passover lamb that will never be eclipsed again. One that will never be stopped by Rome or by anyone else. An exodus that is led by Jesus, whose blood established an everlasting, unbreakable covenant. So that we and many others can say with full confidence, Jesus is Lord. Jesus commissioned his disciples in the upper room that night to go out into the world, to believe and to bring the good news to others. And Paul quotes Isaiah chapter 52 in this passage of Romans. He says, "How beautiful are the feet of the messenger who brings good news. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Jesus commissioned the disciples to be those messengers, the messengers of which Isaiah spoke. Friends, we are all called to be those messengers. All of those who have heard God's word are those messengers. We have been commissioned, and all God's messengers have been called out of the captivity of unbelief, of contentment, of shame, or stress, or unforgiveness, or hard-heartedness, and of course, out of the captivity of sin. The breath of life has been breathed upon the disciples, and we then have received the same Holy Spirit on that day of Pentecost, so that we may be the beautiful feet bringing good news to a weary world. Again, today, we celebrate world missions. We celebrate the work that the Lord has been doing locally and internationally in bringing people to himself. Always, of course, the great work of the Holy Spirit. As you know, or maybe you don't know, St. John's Parish Church has long been an active leader in missions, both locally and internationally. In fact, just yesterday, I had a conversation with someone, a faithful Christian from outside of our diocese, who is asking how to help their clergy and their diocese and their parish be more actively involved in the Lord's work in missions, especially internationally. People are coming to us on how to do this. St. John's Parish Church has been and will always be dedicated to the pursuit of this commissioning, of this calling. Even now, while we are in this time of tabernacling, while we're in this time of planning to move forward with new property, we are not forgetting the Lord's call on our life to go out into the world. And I know that you have seen the impact of missions on our congregation. I know you've seen it, especially upon individuals. You have heard the testimonies. You have seen the results. You have heard the miracles. And most recently, I'm very pleased to report, you know, the miraculous physical healing of my 15-year-old son, Ben, while he was on mission in Peru after that traumatic injury that he suffered on the football field on November 1st. By the end of November, he was completely healed of that. Friends, God moves in miraculous and amazing ways when we believe and take seriously his calls to be messengers of good news. So now, we are living in a far greater exodus than even Moses led. And the good news for us, the good news for all of us who hear these missional words today, is that God reigns on earth as in heaven through our Lord Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. It is that simple. Jesus is Lord. And because of that, we see that we are called to go, to serve, to proclaim, to worship, to be humble, and to speak the words of life of the one true gospel of Jesus Christ. Friends, indeed, Jesus is Lord. Amen.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will. will follow you. Whom you love, I love. How you serve, I serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. I will follow you. All your ways are good, all your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone, higher than my sight, high above my life. I will trust in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I love. How you serve, I serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. I will follow you. Light into the world, light into my life. I will live for you alone. You're the one I see, knowing I will find all I need in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I love. How you serve, I serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I love. How you serve, I serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you.